Hey everybody, another day, another dollar here in post-apocalyptic America, and I'm joined tonight by our frequent contributor, our health contributor out in Colorado, Chelsea. How are you?
Good, it's good to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so she's visiting us right now, and so instead of being over Skype or something, we got you in person, full audio quality, and we're watching my cat play with this chunk of salmon we gave him. Isn't that amusing? He's like tossing it around.
Yeah.
This little thing of diced salmon. What a weirdo.
It's like he's very curious about it.
Eat it, Stirrup.
Opposed to eating it like a cat. Instead playing with it.
I think it's because he rarely gets actual food that's not cat food pureed in a can, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, what is this salmon that these humans speak of? Eat it. Don't play with it. That's weird. It's kicking it around. I'll have to find that in my carpet later.
Yeah.
That's great, Stirrup. Leaving little pieces of fish all over my condo.
It's kind of interesting, too, of like if you feed your animal natural, healthy food like that, opposed to just like, you know, scraps and stuff, how it would be different either health-wise and stuff, like the studies related to that. I'd be curious.
Yeah. I'm sure feeding them natural food is healthier than this processed canned stuff, but
as long as it's healthy, and that's the thing where it's like so much of our food in America and other aren't as healthy of options. But if you choose like more lean foods.
Yeah. No, definitely there are more preservatives in American food than in Europe. And a number of people have claimed that they can eat like a lot of pasta when they're on vacation in Italy, and if they were to do it in the U.S., they would get like indigestion or would get outright sick. And so people have theorized it's just like the massive amount of pesticide that's in the wheat and stuff, and then it gets into our cheap, you know, our cheap corporate pasta, whereas in Italy they take all this stuff seriously, and there's some like artisan who makes the pasta, you know. He's done it for five generations, or I mean, his family has.
Yeah, know? Like all the chemicals too that's sprayed out here on top of that.
Yep. Yeah, all the pesticides and the growth accelerators and stuff.
And that can be why like a lot of people can have gluten problems, potentially. And they might not be allergic or having a problem with gluten. It's technically just like the pesticides and the chemicals on it as well.
Yeah, my little theory on this is that people were not designed to take in that much grains. And you have ancient societies. They had like some capacity to store grain, but they didn't store it to the extent that we do today. And so there was simply less of it in their diets. Nobody was like eating cereal in the morning and then cream of wheat for lunch.
Yeah.
And then a Subway sub that's like 80% bread. And it's, first of all, not the finest grains. Again, like you're saying, it's stuff that's been sprayed potentially. And GMO grains and all the rest of the issues that these big kind of food suppliers have. And so as a result, if you realize that there's a ton of stuff you can eat that's not grains. And I feel like my energy level has been more stable since I've cut idle bread out of my diet. Like whenever I go to a nice restaurant, they offer me bread. I'm always like, no, I'll wait for the main course. Thank you. It's like some kind of vice almost. You know, it's like, oh, just bread to munch on before I even order my food.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you're taking in all these calories and it's like basically sugar once it breaks down.
Yeah. I don't do bread either. Like my alternatives are gluten-free bread as an option if I'm like making a wrap or sandwich where more needs to. But if I'm also in like a, if I order something like a burger, then I'm usually just eating the meat and the vegetables with it without the bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, to go back to the cat for a second, cats are what are known as obligate carnivores. And so it means they need to eat meat or else they can't stay healthy. And, part of their water actually comes from the meat they eat. So they're not going to the water bowl all that often. They're more getting, they're getting that hydration through the meat they're eating in part. And Anyway, where I'm going with this is cats share 90% of our DNA, and we cohabitated starting like in ancient Egypt thousands of years ago. And so point is, maybe what's good for them is to an extent also good for us. I realize that'll upset the vegans out there and stuff, but it's like humans are clearly at a minimum omnivores based on the teeth. We are not vegans. We're not meant to be whales just sifting for algae in the water. You know, nor are we meant, as I theorized a minute ago, nor are we meant to consume nearly as much grain as we consume today.
Mm-hmm. And our body can digest meat, and it uses it as protein. It helps to build muscle as well. So it's yep. like keep our body functioning. So it is I think there's, I mean, I know there's controversy throughout it, but if our bodies can digest it, I think that's a sign personally. But everybody's dealing with different health issues.
No, that's very true, right? Because vegetarian species like cows can't digest meat well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's a telltale sign. But also just how your body feels. Like, again, I get this kind of weird energy crash if I eat too much bread or too many grains. And whereas more of a meat diet, even if it's like some prosciutto in the afternoon and then maybe like a grapefruit or some fruit juice the next morning, you know, some orange juice, that is way more in line with what ancient people were eating than... Again, they didn't have the capacity to store that much grain, and they certainly weren't processing it into these like weird things we consume today.
Mm-hmm. And they ate a lot of vegetables too. Like, that was huge as well, and it was important too for a balanced diet. Like, the greens are detoxing and helping our body as well. So that's very critical, especially like if you're having meat, that's more acidic for the body as it digests. So your greens can help alkaline it as well.
Mm-hmm. You might hear this is like an NPR interview. You get to hear what's happening on the scene. The cat's running around right now. This is Zoomy Hour. Reacts like a total psychopath. But yeah, they share 90% of our DNA. Scary to think about.
Yeah, that's huge.
Even scarier to me is that chimps share like 99 point something percent, because... you look at a chimp, it's just nothing like us. I don't want to go down like a Joe Rogan kind of, you know, topic of like getting philosophical around our closest relatives, the apes. But it's bizarre. It's bizarre we share that much DNA and they're so fucking different. And vicious. Like, vicious, they don't have the ability to see ahead like we do. There's actually a theory, so let's get into weird theories here. It's called Mars theory, and it's, you know, as the name implies, Mars theory is that humans actually came from Mars, and that explains why we don't seem to have a direct link to the great apes or monkeys or anything. Isn't that wild?
Okay.
And so, like, we're hairless, and the incidence of skin cancer and fatal cancers due to the sun is way higher than any other species supposedly connected to us. And all these other kind of almost like design flaws where it seems like we were dropped into a planet that has more radiation and more gravity than we were designed for. As you look at how fucking fast chimpanzees are, like, they can rip an iPhone out of your hand like in the blink of an eye. And also the fact they're 3 to 5 times stronger than us. That's almost like a tell, if you believe this conspiracy theory, right? It's almost like a tell that we're totally different. How come they're 3 to 5 times stronger? They look like the same design, aside from being hairy and like a little bit goofy looking, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, their organs are substantially different. Brain size, substantially different. And maybe we were quite strong when we were on Mars. Where the, let's see, what is percentage of gravity on Mars versus Earth? Wow, so this further supports the theory, right? So gravity of Mars is just 38% the gravity on Earth. So that falls right in line just about with the notion that, you know, why is these relative species are 3 times stronger than us? Well, maybe we evolved on a planet where things were weaker gravity-wise. And so the Mars theory is that for whatever reason we ended up here, either took like a rescue spaceship from Mars to Earth in ancient times, or someone, you know, Maybe some gray alien kidnapped us and moved us from one planet to another. But that's the theory. It's pretty wild to think about. What other theories are like that? There's theory that we were genetically modified. Like aliens came to Earth, picked some, you know, monkey species, modified it heavily, and then humans were the result.
Okay.
Which is another kind of theory that separates us from the animal kingdom. Maybe that's why I like these theories, is I don't like to think that we're connected to the chimps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at least I recognize that there's like some kind of bias there where I want this to be true almost. Because then we're like exciting. Then we're not just like these fucking things that came out of the trees and lost our hair. And now we have smartphones. Something very unsettling about that, you know?
Uh-huh, and homes and walk the earth.
Yeah, and homes and...
Go to grocery stores.
We travel in planes to go 500 miles an hour and stuff. There's just something unsettling about that. If we're just the descendants of a bunch of angry chimpanzees. But I think either way, within our lifetime, we're going to see the first people live on another planet. I think the money's there. I think the motivation will be there. You know, money in terms of they're just enough crazy rich people willing to try it. And someone's going to survive. What do you think?
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
It'll be interesting. So let's see, other health topics that I wanted to cover. C60 still continues to be something I take from time to time. And that one more for mental energy, for whatever reason, it seems to like wake me up when I feel foggy. And then the big one for physical strength and stuff has been nitric oxide, which I was talking to you earlier today about. It just seems like when I take this nitric oxide supplement that I got on Amazon, I feel way less muscle soreness, and I've been sleeping easier, like getting a way more restful sleep, and no side effects that I can, you know, discern anyways.
Nice.
And you were saying people use it for a pre-workout.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of different nitric oxide, also in different supplements that are powder form in pre-workouts. And then they also have it separated too in powder form as well. So I've always used it as pre-workout before my workout. It provides more oxygen to the body. So that's going to help you feel even better for your workout, right? Of either being stronger, more endurance, you have more oxygen. So it helps you do even more. And, you know, with weightlifting, that's one exercise that I really like doing, but it also helps to provide even more oxygen, which gives you more pump in your veins and more blood flow too. It's helping to just tear more muscle fibers to get more growth within the muscle as well. So that's what that is. It's nitric oxide, oxygen form for the body. But pre-workout, I know David was saying he takes it just on a daily basis from time to time and feels good with it. So you could also utilize it as that too. So I would say, like, if you're dealing with, maybe you're feeling weak a lot, that could be a supplement to go ahead and try out for your days. See if it gives you more oxygen, makes you feel better throughout the day. I would definitely assume it'd give you more energy because oxygen does help with energy as well.
Yeah, good points. So I just pulled up this article. Headline is, "We may all be Martians. New research supports the theory that life started on Mars." And this is published on phys.org, which is a physics and science website. Phys.org, and it was written by the European Association of Geochemistry, which sounds pretty official. So just so if you, Chelsea, or if people listening are wondering, did he just pull this Mars theory like out of a hat or something? Did I just make it up as I was talking? Like, no, there's actually a number of scientists who say there's something of the theory, right? Like, here's the article. The first is dubbed by Professor Benner as the, quote, tar paradox. All living things are made of organic matter, but if you add energy such as heat or light to organic molecules and leave them to themselves, they don't create life. Instead, they turn into something more like tar, oil, or asphalt. And so he's... he's pointing out these paradoxes of why it would have been hard for life to have emerged on early Earth, where it was like very hot and intense, right? So the article says the second paradox is that life would have struggled to start on the early Earth because it was likely to have been totally covered by water. Not only would this have prevented sufficient concentrations of boron from forming, it's currently only found in very dry places like Death Valley, but water is corrosive to RNA, which scientists believe was the first genetic molecule to appear. Although there was water on Mars, it covered much smaller areas than on early Earth. And then his quote is, the evidence seems to be building that we are actually all Martians, that life started on Mars and came to Earth on a rock. So that's a bit different from what I'm saying, because I'm suggesting that for some reason humans actually came from Mars after evolving on Mars. But still, it shows you there's a lot of debate in this area.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. And a little ether update. Looks like one ether is $1,555 at the moment. Nice little ring to that, $1,555. And then one Bitcoin as of this evening, as of Tuesday, August 30th. One Bitcoin, $19,976 and change. For people listening in the future, you'll be shocked, maybe. Maybe you'll be shocked one way or another. Either at how cheap it is today or how, you know, overpriced or something. But that's pretty much it here. I think we covered a lot of interesting stuff in a short amount of time. And any final thoughts?
Not that I have.
No? We should mention the book thing that you came up with.
Yeah, the books, for sure. So all of the three books, there should be a link in the profile, but all three books of David Seaman, that they go over Bitcoin, Ether, they go over the market trends, cryptocurrency, what's happening in America.
And like we came up with on the live stream earlier tonight, if you buy all three and send us proof, like send us a photo of the three books together, send us an email, we'll give you 6 months of the newsletter for free. Right now the newsletter is $14 a month, so it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
It's like we don't usually do stuff like that. But I really want people to start reading the books. Like I was talking to you earlier today. Most people don't read. It's not unique to our audience. Like most people do not read anymore. So it's like you get an $84 value, $84 worth of newsletter content if you show us you bought all three books. Yeah. But no, people don't read anymore. It's weird. They watch little videos and people still listen to the radio and podcasts and stuff. You got to read. I hate to sound like some, you know, some teacher or something. You got to read or else your brain atrophies. It's one of the main inputs of information is textual. If you're only listening to like Joe Rogan, Zone Out, and, you know, people like that, you're not taking in as much information. You might think you are. There's like way more content in a book like this than in even like a terrific 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, and it helps your brain to actually retain it more because you actually are seeing it going across.
Oh, definitely. As well. Yeah. No, when you, at least for me, if I read something, I have a much better grasp than like watching a presentation on YouTube or something.
Yeah. And I feel like if you have a hard time trying to get into the habit of reading, just do it before bed. Like it's a great way to relax, go to sleep, and then you have all that information. And once you start doing that, you know, after a while, it gets easier and easier of actually becoming a habit.
Wow. Yeah, I hate to sound like a cult, but I love the idea of people reading the research books right before they go to bed because it means these concepts are going to be like the top of their mind in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of thinking about depressing, you know, depressing stuff pumped into their world by the media. You're starting to think creatively, like, oh, we can outsmart the central banks. Oh, we can actually, like, you know, secure a future even if inflation gets crazy. We can do all these things. Oh, we can send payments to another country even if relations between countries starts to break down. Even if there's a world war, we still have money. That's like a huge breakthrough, you know? Because if a world war happens and your country loses, your currency becomes worthless, at least usually.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the crypto, the people in that country, if it's like Russia that loses world war, as long as you have crypto and you're in Russia, at least you'll still have some, you know, some social status or something. Oh, he's going for the fish again. Look at that. a weird little animal. But yeah, so that's it here. It's been great hanging out with you and recording some stuff earlier today.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your time on the East Coast.
Yes, will do.
And links to your stuff we'll put in the description just so people can find your website.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. It's Find Yourself Healthy. And then definitely go ahead, check out the books. The link of that will be in the profile as well. So you guys can get that amazing deal in 6 months of content as well.
You're listening to Fulcrum News, real news from America and around the world. FulcrumNews.com/subscribe to get our premium membership and updates via email.